You're listening to the Ohio Conference Cast, where we explore topics related to the workings of Ohio Conference. Here are your hosts, Bill Seymour and Thomas Dunn.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Ohio Conference Cast. This is Bill Seymour.
And this is Thomas Dunn, and we are sitting in the library at Kidron Mennonite Church in Wayne County.
And we are here to listen to a missional story from Kidron Mennonite, and we will have with us two of the staff people, Chris Nussbaum and Craig Strasbaugh. We had intended that this would be the second part of a podcast, but they were interesting enough that they get their own podcast. So when we
talk full length,
and when we talk about First Mennonite Church in Canton, just ignore that for now. We'll put them in another podcast.
So at our last regional gathering at Crown Hill Mennonite Church, we were recording missional stories. You've heard the story of Sean in Canton, and we also recorded with Craig Strasbaugh at Kidder Mennonite. But Craig had a guest, and we had to.
Let's just say she was not impressed with our podcasting.
We did not impress Craig.
Well, she happened to be missing her pacifier. That might be a big part of the problem.
She was not impressed.
So Bill and I have made the long journey down to Kidron, and so we are here
hours and hours and hours because Thomas was driving.
And we've picked up a new guest. So Chris, why don't you introduce yourself?
I am Chris Nussbaum. I'm the Minister of Education here at Kidron Mennonite. I love working with Craig. We're crazy together. And I used to be Thomas's teacher, so I know lots of good dirt on him.
This has become a different podcast.
We are staying on topic. Missional stories.
Rats.
And Craig, I don't know, you should probably introduce yourself as well.
Yeah, I'm Craig Strasbaum. I'm one of the staff members here at the church, pastor of whatever else.
That's the official title, pastor of
It's amazing how job descriptions become whatever is needed.
Yeah, well, it's that last line and anything else they want me to do, right, on the job description.
Yeah, no, we're working at getting some clarity, but it's become, it was youth and became youth and missions and outreach and whatever else kind of needed to be done, and now we're trying to get back towards youth and mission outside of the church as opposed to mission through the agencies.
All right, cool.
So that sounds like a pretty good on-ramp to what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Bill and I have heard stories at our pastor peers, and I'm sure you shared on Thursday night around your table of what some of that outside the church activity is. So why don't you, for the listeners who don't know anything about this, give us some background about what that aspect of your jobs are.
Yeah, so a number of years ago, before I started here, actually, when somebody else was in my position.
Whose name might have been Thomas.
Whose name might have been Thomas. my understanding is, and Chris, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, a high school Sunday school class was doing their Sunday school one week, and somebody was just a little frustrated and kind of raised the opinion that we do a whole lot of talking, but we never actually do anything. Maybe we should do something instead of just talking about why we need to do things. And it hit on a good day. Others kind of echoed the sentiment, and the adults that were with them that morning really just kind of nurtured that idea and said, well, yeah, let's see what happens with that.
Can I insert something there?
Absolutely.
That was during a time period when our high school students actually were the source of a lot of our really good ideas as far as activities here at the church. They were also the ones who initiated the backdoor coffee shop, which we ran for several years, and became a local hangout and game place for people that were kind of at loose ends on Friday nights, mm-hmm. and a number of other things that we did here at the church. So tap your teenagers.
Yeah. And so through their conversation, as that grew and as it kind of drew in some adults, their like idealism kind of got paired with the experience and the mechanisms of the church, and it became supportive rather than prohibitive. And two things happened. The first one is as they began to pray about what needs they could do in the community or what they could meet, one thing that grew out of that conversation was a ministry to the women's prison, and that J.C. Jules kind of began, and they started doing women would do a Bible study there at the prison. They also kind of landed on this community. It was heavy on somebody's heart, and it was a trailer park in our area, low-income neighborhood, rough around the edges, and one that everybody drove past, but nobody drove into.
And it's kind of invisible. Like, yeah, there's stuff in front of it. And so these people are literally invisible in their community.
Mm-hmm. And they're right by a major intersection. So you would assume as you drive past, there's three or four trailers in there. But if you pull back in, you realize that there's 45 lots.
Yeah, Bill and I drove by it on the way here. And we've probably each driven by it hundreds of times.
And I have been in it. But only when I, you're right, only when I had a reason. I never drove in there just to see.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, with the level of experience that these high school kids had in and missional stuff, you know, they had a really well-oiled plan of attack or plan of mission. You know, they had a 10-step process they were hoping and hoping to do and goals they were planning to meet.
Sounds like all the high schoolers I know.
Right. Well, and most church ministries, once you have the plan, then you start, right?
Then you start.
There was a definite long-range plan,
not at all.
That's a joke for people who can't see facial expressions on the podcast.
Yeah, I was going to ask for part number five. But okay.
Yeah.
And we're still working on that. We don't know.
So really what I think really got a hold of those youth is it was more important to do something and than do nothing, as opposed to having the whole plan figured out and everything had to stay according to script. So the ministry that began there began with high school kids showing up, parking beside a grassy area, and playing soccer with themselves to see if anybody would join them.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Because they didn't know what else to do. They didn't just want to go door to door and knock on doors and try to drop Jesus into a trailer where they had no relationship, no frame of reference.
Okay, so Craig and Chris, you have kids motivated with adults joining them and helping, whose first idea is just simply to go and be and to play amongst themselves and see what happens. So how did that work out?
Well, it worked pretty well. I mean, we ended up starting a summer program and had a series of interns who were in high school or in college that for the summer would plan games and meals and activities for the kids to do. And that I think we did that for 3 years.
So the kids to do, just the Kidron kids, or now kids are coming out of the trailers
it
and
was
joining?
It all took place at the trailer court.
Okay.
And then the following year, we made a bigger push to integrate the kids from the trailer community into our church population to start making friendships.
And church population here or yes. Still at the trailer?
No, we brought
them
here.
So you brought
here.
The kids back
here.
So we
really got into transporting the kids.
Okay.
We started a mentoring program where we had like one or two people who were picking up kids from a certain family and bringing them to our activities, sometimes staying to help staff the activities. We also encouraged those mentor families to, you know, invite the whole family they were mentoring over for meals or to do activities with them. And that met with varying levels of success. But we have some mentors who are still like 7 years later mentoring the family they started with.
Nice.
And like the girl that I bring to church refers to me as her other mommy. It really develops some close relationships. Like they'll call like when they have needs and they'll tell you, no, this is happening in my family. Please pray for me. Mm-hmm. Our summer program has changed a lot over the years. And in fact, we've never done the same thing twice, which at first I was a little frustrated with because I'm one of those people who likes consistency and planning and knowing what to expect. In retrospect, that was like brilliant because it didn't tie us down to any expectations about what we were going to do, what we'd provide, who we would be. And it allowed us to change as our staffing changed and as our volunteer levels have changed over the years. And as the kids have aged, The kids that we started with as preschoolers and kindergartners are now sixth graders. They were our youngest, and now we've got kids who've graduated. They've been with us since they were in middle or elementary school. So just the needs of interaction have changed, and we've really made some cool relationships.
So I don't mean this as a slight on Kidron Mennonite, but we're all in churches, and there are those in churches in every congregation who prefer everything to be nice and clean and pristine. So when you start bringing kids from the trailer park in,
it will not
I don't
be.
Mean to slam the kids in the trailer park either, but different backgrounds, different understandings of what's supposed to happen on a Sunday morning. How did that work?
Well, this is a story that continues to play out. With every new batch of kids, it takes anybody a while to get used to a new culture.
Right.
And I don't know that they ever fully assimilate into a Swiss German Mennonite way of
so
being.
So they don't learn the bass line or the tenor line.
Communication styles is the big one. Like, okay. That just never irons out.
Right.
Language doesn't quite iron out. Yeah. How you handle a facility or equipment doesn't exactly iron out.
Right.
But we have to take a long-term view, those that are directly working with them, and that we're not trying to move those that we're working with. We're not trying to fix them. We're trying to support them in life, knowing that we're not going to get them to the finish line. We're just trying to move them one step forward, one step forward in the relationships that we develop.
Well, and that makes sense, because you and I, Craig, are not this is Bill. You and I aren't raised in the Mennonite church. We came in from a different place, and I don't think either one of us have fully learned the language of Mennonites or the, you know, all of the ins and outs of the cultural parts of the heritage. Mm-hmm. And yet we find a place here.
Right.
And so why should we expect people without even a church background,
right.
To come in and learn everything immediately?
Well, or if they have a church background, it's often been traumatic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so my 13-year-old daughter has actually struggled a bit with what you're talking about, in that as we've tried to integrate the two groups of kids to make friendships, she's been confronted with the fact that she has expectations about how the people around her act, and she didn't know she had those.
Right.
But it's been really good, because we have some amazing discussions about what it means to show who Jesus is when you're frustrated, mm-hmm. and when you're not getting the positive feedback you're used to. She's had a lot of good insights about, wow, my life is so, like, thank you. Just thank you for being stable. And my life is so different from these kids. And she'll be frustrated and at the same time be saying, I really want to help these kids know Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's... I think where we've intersected, it's been good for us to be shaken up a little bit.
Right.
It's not easy, and it's not always pretty.
Well, talk about, I mean, Christian formation, Christian development, like what I heard you say about your daughter's worldview, like that is
huge.
Huge. That is a much better Christian formation, in my perspective, than coming up through the ranks of a school or church and knowing all the biblical knowledge and everything, but having a small worldview because you don't know what's outside of your world. I mean, I think that's an incredible foundation that your daughter and hopefully many others have to grow off of.
And my son is actually, he was younger when we started, and so he doesn't question it as much. He's just like, oh yeah, that's just so-and-so, and they're a little crazy sometimes, and that's okay. And
right.
So he's more immersed in it even than she is, which is kind of fun.
Well, I think in any group, you're going to have those that are active participants, that on the one hand, they're active participants because they see this as part of faithfulness. Like, they see this as in the heart of God, not just managing who's there on a Sunday, but interacting with the world around you, and particularly the world that isn't already Christian. They're going to struggle. They're going to carry some of the stress and strain, because it's not without stress. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be others that don't understand, that resent maybe the damage to church buildings, that are worried about liabilities, that it's all about insurance. They want to have the whole plan. But in the end, I find that being involved in this process, I have probably been more transformed than any of the kids that have come through the program.
Same here.
Like, first and foremost, God has shaken me. God has pressed on my faith and reminded me that he has come to seek and save that which is lost. And that happens through relationship, not by just program. It's by being with people. And if I just come to church on a Sunday and play church, there's a large portion of my faith that is just dormant. It's like drinking broth instead of eating stew. I'm just going to have to go back to it more and more and more.
Right.
And so this has been a journey on the church. Some have engaged heartily. There's a few that are carrying quite a bit of the load. And yet our whole congregation has been shaped through it. And it's opened doors broader in the community now. The core group that started at the trailer park is now spread all around the county. We have kids in our youth group from 7 school districts. We have more kids in the vocational school working on trades instead of degrees than we've ever had before. And that's good. And those seem to be the ones that are engaged in drawing others into the ministries of the church. And
they find life here, and they want their friends to find life as well.
They find life. They find adults that actually care,
who like them,
but are not necessarily just go ahead and walk all over us either. That are trying to help them with life choices and moving forward. But at the end, regardless of the level of dysfunction, adults that have chosen to continue walking with them. And as those doors have grown, as those kids have become adults, there are other relationships that have formed in the trailer park, moving in the adult circles, helping adults work through dysfunctional marriages, through traumatic childhood things, employment issues. We've partnered with a YWAM missionary that is running.
YWAM is
Youth with a Mission.
Can I talk about that for a second?
Go for it.
So just by accident, about 2.5, 3 years ago, this YWAM missionary decided kind of out of the blue that this was where this trailer court was where he was going to work. And he ran into Liddell Steiner, who at the time was on staff here. And he's like, it just kind of happened. Like, this was totally a God bringing us what we needed. We knew we were ready for the next level, but we weren't sure what it would look like. We'd had a couple living in the trailer park, and they had ended their commitment, and we turned the trailer into a community center, which this YWAM missionary is now using as his base for connecting with the adults and the kids of the community. And it has just been so cool to watch it happen. And that God is just led the way through that process in an amazing, amazing way.
So I think it may have been Lance Ford and Brad Briscoe last year at ACA's missional conference, but I remember them saying the first repentance that is necessary is me, is the ones, those of us in the church. We have to change our minds so that something else can happen.
Right.
Right, and that seems to be what you're describing from the very beginning, from the kids in Sunday school 8 or 7 years ago saying, maybe we should do something instead of talk, mm-hmm. to the way that you've been changed, and even your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good story you got going on.
I think instead of making it a big, huge project, The whole story of the trailer park ministry from the beginning to this point is that it's all been taking one step of faithfulness, just one, figuring out what happened, making adjustments as needed. It's just a path of one step. It's not a process. It's not a plan. Nothing goes according to plan. It still doesn't go according to plan.
That's an understatement.
Well, that's really weird if it doesn't go according to plan and there wasn't a plan.
But I think I never would have guessed, even from when I started here 4.5 years ago, if you told me, where do you think Riceland is going to be in 4.5 years? I would not have picked this point. And this point is so much better than whatever we would have drafted. And if we had just taken everything through committee and having a plan at the front end, we'd probably still be figuring out
right.
what we were going to do in 5 years.
I love how Shane Claiborne talks about what he does in his work, and it so fits what we, I think what we're doing. He said that we don't need programs. We need to be good neighbors. And being a good neighbor means getting off your front porch and going out and meeting people and getting to know them and becoming their friend. And we don't need to hand out lots of stuff. We don't need to give them money. We need to care about their pain and celebrate the things that go well with them. And I think that's been one of the hardest lessons to learn, that, don't try to be a relief agency, be a good neighbor. Mm. And it's a big difference.
Thank you, Craig and Chris. You've made the long journey to Kidron worth it. So thanks for your time. And thank you, more importantly, for the work you guys are doing for the kingdom. And I think this is where there's lessons we can all learn from this. So thank you.
Yes, thanks very much. And thank you for spending your time with Ohio Conference Cast. We appreciate your listening, and we hope this has been a helpful experience for you. And we look forward to speaking with you another time. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Vietnam.
Thanks for listening to the Ohio Conference Cast. We would like to hear from you. You can email us at OhioConferenceCast@gmail.com with any topics or questions you would like us to explore.
Norm, we're going to start over. False
Can
start.
I say hi to Norm?
Yeah, say hi.
Hi, Norm. This is Chris Nussbaum. Haven't seen you for a while.
leave that one.